We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You are listening to KC Sports Network, proudly presented by M-Prize Bank. Up next, the latest on the Missouri Tigers from KCSN, which features multiple shows each week with Border War with former Missouri forward Jarrett Sutton and former Jayhawks guard Jeff Hawkins, and Mizzou That's Who with insider Gabe DeArmond, Maggie Johnson, and Tucker Franklin. The latest news, the top stories, and an insider perspective to keep you in the know. Make sure to follow us on your new home for Missouri Tigers podcasts, KCSN. And now, the latest on Mizzou Athletics.
Hello and welcome into Mizzou That's Who, your podcast for Missouri Athletics here on KC Sports Network. I am Tucker Franklin, joined as always by Gabe DeArmond and Maggie Johnson. Folks, good season for the Missouri Tigers ended in a loss to 15-seeded Princeton on Saturday. A lot of going through it. We're going to probably have our own cope session of our own here, talk about the game, put a bow on the season. Also, before we get into it, shout out to Charlie Hustle and wear their Monarchs collection. Make sure to go check out that Shakespeare shirt that Maggie's got on. It's incredible, by the way. So make sure to go check out charliehustle.com for anything that you want to wear. Gabe, how you doing? Long flight from Sacramento back at the home base, I see.
Yeah, I'm good. It was fun to cover the NCAA tournament and fun to cover a win in the NCAA tournament. First time in 14 years I've done that. I was not there 13 years ago when they were all the way up in Buffalo. So, you know, I feel like there was a grieving period, probably lasted for most people, I think, only about Saturday. I think by Sunday morning, from what I saw, most people had moved on to heck of a season. You know, I mean, it's a missed opportunity because it was Princeton and they were a 15 seed, and I get that part. But I couldn't muster up a whole lot of disappointment or anger, you know, given what this team did this year.
Yeah. Maggie, your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm the same way. Of course, I'm upset. As a fan, like, you're going through it, you're disappointed, you're upset. I don't think anybody thought that we would go into that game and lose it. I mean, we all said on here that it was a possibility we could lose. I mean, I think you have to go into every game, you know, really thinking that you could, but I don't think anybody actually thought that we would. So, yeah, it was a tough pill to swallow, but, you know, we got completely outworked. And when you get outworked and you get outplayed, you're not going to win very many games, especially not in the NCAA tournament, and especially not to teams like Princeton who have absolutely nothing to lose.
I think that it kind of made the pill go down a little bit easier that Kansas also lost. And I think it would have been a little bit sweeter, right? If Mizzou would have made it to the Sweet 16, Kansas would have lost in the round of 32. Then Missouri fans would have been like, hey, you know, in your sport, we were better than you. For that season, we made it further. But we made it the same length.
Can I interject there? Because that's the problem I have with college basketball. Missouri winning and Kansas losing would not have meant Missouri had a better season than Kansas.
That's fair.
It meant they had a better week. Arkansas has not had a better season than Missouri. They were like 11th in the country. Missouri was 11th in the SEC. Arkansas has won one more game in the tournament. We have gotten to the point where, to most people, college basketball is a 3-week sport. Most people don't pay attention to it until now. And even those who do, like, I'm not saying the tournament is not important. It is, but it's the argument I've had for a long time. I think if you take 2002 Missouri, which was dreadful all year, like preseason top five, last team in the field, 12 seed. They won three games, a couple points away from the Elite Eight. Then you take 2012 Missouri, which won 30 games out of absolutely nowhere. Phenomenal season, two seed, won the Big 12 tournament, lost the first round. I think like 95% of fans would say that the 2002 team had a better season, and they didn't. They just had a better 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Megan.
I agree with you too. I think I like seeing Kansas lose, of course. I would never think that Mizzou had a better season. No, of course, people are saying currently, you know, that Arkansas's having a better season or that Kentucky's having a better season. And I mean, if you're never gonna stop people from thinking those things. I mean, they see you lose. We lost to Princeton, we didn't lose to UConn. So I mean, I understand people may be saying that, even if it's not true.
And I think that kind of just seeing Kansas lose was all, obviously, Maggie, as you mentioned, was a nice palate cleanser before you knew, because I think that game ended like midway through the second half.
I was surprised they were playing it on the Jumbotron during the game.
Oh, really?
Like, it was up on the big screen during the game. It was great. With 30 seconds left, they were playing Mr. Brightside in the Golden One Sitter and showing it, and not the Missouri band. Like, they were just playing it over the speakers. Wow. And Kansas and Arkansas were in a tie game with 30 seconds left during a timeout. But I was surprised. Like, they were in the middle of a play in Missouri-Princeton, and there was, like, this the cheer from the crowd when the Arkansas-Kansas game ended. It seemed really weird to me that they were showing it just in the middle of the game.
That is weird.
I was wondering if they were, because while watching that game, I remember, because I had both games on. So while watching it, I heard this, like, with the sound on in the Mizzou game, like a loud cheer. And I was like, I wonder if they just said the end, the final score of that game. And so that would make sense if that's exactly what happened.
I had some, I was talking to some other Missouri fans about it, and they said, I feel weird cheering for either one of those teams in that matchup. It was an interesting rooting interest game. But let's get back to the game, Missouri-Princeton. That game, I think, was, for me at least, was incredibly frustrating. And, like, that is, like, the microcosm of what Missouri basketball has to do to have things go wrong, right? Put up some shot, not make any buckets. Your offense isn't clicking for you. On the other end, you know, they're not really hitting threes at a high percentage. Like, when they're missing, they're getting the offensive rebound, putting it back up. I think at one point their second chance points was 13-0. And that's probably when I stopped watching, so I didn't see the end of it. So if I didn't see the end of it, that means it didn't happen. That's what it is in my head. So Gabe, your thoughts on kind of Mizzou's performance overall?
It was a combination of problems that we knew Missouri had that Princeton exploited, and problems that they hadn't had a lot that popped up on the wrong day. I mean, there was a lot of thought that Missouri lost this game because of bad three-point defense and bad rebound. And I completely disagree with that. They were bad at those things all year. And they won anyway because they were good enough offensively to overcome. And, you know, I will fully admit, like, I didn't give Princeton enough credit. I mean, I had Missouri in the Sweet 16, and I didn't really think it'd be close. What I didn't see happening in that game was what happened. The stretch where that game was decided, Missouri got back within five on a Kobe Brown layup on the first possession of the second half. And the next three possessions, they fed him inside and tried to do exactly what they did in Utah State. He missed one and he got two blocked. And what I didn't see happening was Kobe Brown not being able to score inside against Princeton. And once that was the case, I mean, everything Missouri does comes off that. And when you combine it with only the fourth time all year DeMoy Hodge didn't make a three, Kobe and DeMoy had 8 points in that game with 4 minutes to go. You're beating no one. That, it, like, I don't know that Missouri would have beaten anyone on the schedule when that happened, much less anyone in the NCAA tournament. And so, the analogy I made to kind of compare it to something is it would have been like if the 2018 Chiefs lost a playoff game 24-20. And you said, the defense, man, they can't give up that game-winning touchdown drive. No, that's on the offense for scoring 20 points because you're built to win with offense. This team was built all year to win with offense, and their offense was bad on the wrong day.
I think our depth, it hurt us too. We just couldn't. Kobe picked up his first foul, I think, 30 seconds? Yeah, something ridiculous. We had really, Ben Sterberg got some time on there, but we really have three bench players. They had,
if that,
three, four, five, six. They had seven bench players that they played, and we had three that we kind of played, if you count Aiden Shaw. So maybe two. It was going to catch up to us eventually. We had so many games, and especially looking too at that foul kind of statistic, we didn't take any free throw. We didn't shoot any free throws.
Right. Yeah.
I will say this: they called nothing in that game.
Yeah.
Dudes could have punched each other, and it was both ways. Issues with the officiating because it was consistent start to finish. You are going to have to be bleeding to go to the free throw line.
Yeah, Princeton had nine fouls. We had 18.
A lot of which came in the last 4 minutes.
Oh, yeah, a lot of them came at the end of the game. But, there were some times on some, I would say Kobe Brown got hacked a few times down low. There were some that you would have liked to see, but they did call it consistently. And if they do that, you can't put all of the blame on it.
Well, and the depth, I think, is big. Trago Million, his presence, doesn't win that game, right? You're not looking at Trago Million and going, he's the difference between losing and winning, or Ronnie DeGray, or even Isaiah Mosley. But it is just more bodies and more options. I had a lot of stuff in the second half. This guy can't play. That guy can't play. I said, who the hell can play? How is he going to field a team of five people? He only has seven and a half. There's just not much he can do because your next option, if you've eliminated these three guys, is playing Mabor Meja. Legitimately, that's his next option. And I said at halftime, I said I would have taken Golston, Honor, Kobe, Carter, and one other guy that wasn't DR. Du Bois. I said, I'd play those five and I'd play them until they literally came to the bench and said, I can't play. I have to come out of this game. And then the weird thing was the one run Missouri made was mostly due to Mohamed DR on defense and Sean East starting to score on offense. Yeah. And I told the guy next to me, I said, if Dennis Gates wins this game because of DR's defense and Sean East scoring, put him in the Basketball Hall of Fame. It's every team ever that loses got out coached, right? That's the first thing you hear. We got out coached and out hustled is the other one. And I'll listen to out hustled in that game. But as far as out coached, Missouri spent the first half of the game in man defense and they got absolutely shredded. They could not guard Tosin. He was killing. And so they went to zone and they got absolutely shredded in zone. There aren't other options, guys. Right. It's not the game plan. He played man and he played zone. I don't know what other kinds of defense there are to play.
Well, I want to say this, too, because, Gabe, to your point, I saw a lot of people saying, Dennis Gates needs to adjust. He can't shoot the basketball. He did. He adjusted, but he just can't shoot. He can't go out there and score points. He can't go out there and shoot the basketball. So I don't think there are people a little bit too hard on Dennis Gates on there. Princeton had a good day. That's also
great.
Plays into it is Princeton played really well. Missouri didn't have their best day. So sometimes that's just how it is. That's just how it goes. And I know it's frustrating that it happened to another 15 seed. And as soon as I got on Twitter, as soon as that game got done, I saw Kansas fans saying, well, maybe a good thing that we didn't lose to a 15 seed twice in 11 years. But we lost in the second round. But I saw them coping like that. But I know it stinks, but it was one of those games where I was watching that game develop, and I was like, man, it just became evidently clear that, like, it was Princeton's night, and it was just not Missouri's night.
And also, so Princeton made 12 threes, which isn't the most that's been scored against us this season, but it's a lot of threes. They made four against Arizona.
Yeah. Four. Oh, wow.
They also cooked 36.
33. Oh, was it 36? Yeah. They shot a lot.
The percentage wasn't bad. You know, I mean, if they had actually shot lights out, they would have won that game by 30.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to give up something, right? And when I was watching, when they went to that 1-3-1 zone, Diarra got a couple straight blocks, and it looked like to me, now I don't know if this is what they told him or if he just wasn't reacting quickly enough, but he was just camped under the basket, and he wasn't leaving. Like, he wasn't going and chasing shooters, which I understand, because if the guy at the bottom of the 1-3-1 zone goes and chases the shooter, then there is nobody at the basket, right? Yeah. And if Diarra is sprinting out at a guy in the corner, he's probably either going to pass it or dribble around him. But mm-hmm. Point is, that corner three was open. And I don't know if you guys know this, but kids that go to Princeton tend to be very intelligent. And they recognized it real fast. What I mostly took out of that game was that it wasn't that Missouri just rolled over. I mean, they got back. They made a 7-0 run at the end of the first half.
Yeah.
And I told my friends, I said, they might have just saved their season. But because I've seen that happen before in the NCAA tournament. You know what usually happens when that happens? The 15 seed rolls over. And they said, man, we had it, but now these guys, they're just better than we are. Like, they made their run and they get beat. So Princeton answered that immediately. And then the biggest play of the game, I thought, Missouri had it to 6. And Sean East goes down and, you know, puts up a left-handed layup. And, like, I don't blame him. Sometimes the ball doesn't go your way. It touched every bit of the rim. And it spun out. And it would have cut it to 4. And I just kind of thought, mark that, right? And Princeton went on, like, a 10-0 run immediately. So my point is, when Missouri punched, Princeton didn't will. They had right. every answer they had to have. And at some point, you have to say, hats off to them, because they didn't play like a 15 seed. Now, that doesn't whatever. Missouri should have won the game. But the weird thing is, that wasn't Princeton's best win of the weekend. You know, I mean, might have been the most impressive, but it wasn't even their best win in 3 days.
Yeah. All right, well, let's kind of switch gears here after this break. We're going to kind of put this season in perspective, as we mentioned, something that I think Missouri fans have now started to do a little bit better than what they did after the game was over. So once we get back, we're going to talk about that. So we'll be back after this.
You're listening to the fastest growing sports media network in Kansas City, KC Sports Network. We'll be back right after this.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Entertain, educate, inform. KC Sports Network.
All right, welcome back to Mizzou That's Who. I'm Tucker Franklin with A.B. Armin and Maggie Johnson. Let's put the season in perspective. Gabe, overall, if I would have told you in, let's say, November, maybe September, Missouri would be make it to the round of 32. They'd be the fourth seed in the SEC. They'd win over, I think, 25 games is what they ended. They end up 25 and 10 on the season. What would your immediate thoughts have been?
Well, I'll go a step further than my thoughts. If you had told Dennis Gates that on November 1st, he'd have said, sign me up. We don't got to play. I'm done. Signed it up.
Yeah,
every single person would have taken it. You know, and the thing about the NCAA tournament is, like, it sucks for 67 of the 68 teams. It just does. It doesn't matter. I mean, yeah, there are degrees, right? If you lose in the Elite Eight, it sucks a little less than losing in the first round. But you're going to end the season with a loss. And it feels so incredibly final. Because I think even more so in college sports than in pro sports, because like most of the important Eagles players are probably coming back next year, right? Or at least have the option to. Like, you know that for some guys, that's the last time they're ever setting foot on a basketball court, you know, and it just hits with, it lasts so long and it ends so fast.
Yeah, no, I agree about the finality. I think that kind of makes it makes it hard for me as like a sympathetic person, or, you know, I have that empathy for these guys because I do know that they'll probably never play again, or at least definitely never play in a Mizzou uniform again. And for a team like this I didn't expect it either, I guess, to kind of answer that question. I think we said at the beginning of the season, get 20, 21 wins, we'll likely make the tournament. You know, who knows where we're
like
at.
That was the ceiling.
Yes. 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 And that's like, we were like, we're going to have to work really, really hard to get to those 21 wins. And obviously they did. But to get 25 with one of those being a tournament win and you haven't had it in 13 years, I just don't see how you can say anything that negative about the season. Yes, we lost and it was disappointing and it was slightly embarrassing, but who cares? At the end of the day, what I try to tell like all the Mizzou fans I know is there's always next year to try. Like, there's always next year. There really is.
Yeah.
And like, you know, you mentioned the 13 years and this team, like, you can't talk about this team without talking about that. Right? Because
right.
It's like the reason, back when I was growing up, the reason Northern Iowa sucked was because Rhode Island had happened. And, you know, these other games had happened. And then there would be more of them, you know. But this team, you know, like I saw somebody say, and I want to be clear, we make this mistake. We see a few tweets or a few message board posts, and we say, well, people are saying, well, no, like three people. Mostly, I think Missouri fans have reacted to this and handled it the way we are. But this team did something that hasn't been done here in a long time. And I thought what really hit me, and you always ask this question after the last game of the season, and it's a stupid question because you never get an answer. But like after the game, you know, hey, you lost. You obviously wanted to go further, but can you kind of put into perspective what you did this season, right? Every person who's ever covered a team that did not win a title asks that question at the end of the year. And it's stupid because usually it's, I'm just mad we lost, man. I'll think about that tomorrow and I'll appreciate it down the road. That wasn't Missouri's answer on Saturday. Like immediately, Trey Gomillion and Ben Sternberg and Demoy Hodge all said, you know, like, I really appreciate the chance I had to come here and do this. And we want to be the guys that everybody remembers that laid the foundation for Coach Gates and that future teams look back at, and they're the ones that followed us. And ultimately, we don't know if this team's going to be that. But, and look, maybe I'm just old and so I'm soft and stuff like that hits me a little more. Yeah. But like, seeing guys who, A, should never have been playing. Like, they're not supposed to be here. But B, we're here for 1 year. Like, who are you going to remember more? Demoy Hodge or all the guys who spent 4 years here between 2013 and 2020? There's no question you're going to remember Demoy Hodge. And he did that, and Trey Gomillion did that, and Drake Olsten, is as much as I know he made some people mad at times, like, he did that. They all did that in 9 months, you know, and what I wrote after the game was just, they made you care again, right? You knew what time the game was on Tuesday. And like in 2019, Maggie probably knew what time the game was on Tuesday night, but most people didn't. You know, most people on my message board did. Most of my friends who say they're diehard fans, like there's a, like who plays for us this year? You know, what time does it, we still SEC, is that still happening, still playing Kentucky, you know, because they had just checked out. And for anyone who has any sense of what this program used to be and what it hasn't been for a long time, this team brought some of that back.
Yeah, and they won big games for us too. It's not like they just did the bare minimum. I mean, you know, they beat Illinois by 20 something points. They beat Kentucky. Sure, we fell pretty short playing Kansas, but they did a lot. And they kind of remind me, when Jared Sutton came on our show and he said the same thing, he goes, when we left, we thought that we set this team up for the future. You know what I'm saying? Like, that is exactly what every single player wants to do, is set that team up for the success, build the foundation. And you're right, Gabe, I think that they did that. Now it's up. Now we get to see what Dennis can really do in bringing in freshman players, replacing these guys with transfers. I'm sure maybe we'll talk here in a little bit about who's gone, who might come back, and things like that. But now we really get to see Dennis Gates, you know, spread his wings a little bit.
I think that's the exciting part, is this roster wasn't necessarily a roster full of all-stars, right? This roster was Cleveland State. And he took them to the second round of the NCAA tournament with some transfers, with Kobe Brown, who was already here, and really developed Kobe Brown a whole lot, took a huge step forward. So I think that serves for some excitement as Dennis Gates starts to get his own guys in there. I was looking at the Rivals recruiting rankings. He's already got a top 35 class coming in for this next season. So that's exciting. I know Trent Pierce is a guy that people are excited about. They've got guys in this class that are highly rated, and guys that they're excited about getting in there too. So the transfer portal, obviously a huge part of that too. So I'm curious to see kind of how Dennis approaches that and filling some of the gaps that he's going to have. But for the future, it looks bright.
Yeah, I mean, they're a year ahead of schedule. Nobody can argue they are. And what I think should most encourage people is every single player who played this year, significant, and I'm sorry, that doesn't include Isaiah Mosley. It doesn't include Ronnie DeGray. Doesn't include Kobe or Caleb Brown, because those guys didn't play significant, right? But every player who played the majority of the games, every single one had their best season ever in basketball.
Yeah.
They were better than they've ever been, top to bottom. And so if you want to call that luck, you can call it luck, but I would tend to believe it has more to do with coaching and player development.
Absolutely. Something you'll have to see too, and I'm curious to your guys' thoughts on this, because when you talk about a first-year coach and you talk about success with a first-year coach, sometimes that sets the bar maybe a little too high. And this, we could run into this situation with Dennis as well. Possibly happened with Konzo when you talk about him getting Michael Porter Jr. I know that I think some people had a little bit of perspective with that, but I don't think so at the same time. Are we worried that the bar is going to be too high for Dennis after making the tournament, breaking the streak, getting to a spot where they could have realistically made the Sweet 16? Is that bar not too high for them?
Might be. We'll see next year, right? I mean, but like, yeah. Because make no mistake, Missouri fans will expect the tournament next year.
Yeah.
With or without Kobe, they will expect the tournament because you got there this year. So the expectation is, well, you just get better every year, so you're going to get there next year and hopefully go further. And that said, I assume Dennis would go ahead and say, it's cool, I'll take the burden, you know, because I'm glad we went to the tournament. But, like, I remember talking a few years ago, a friend of mine covered Purdue, and Jeff Brohm came in and went, like, I don't know, something like 7-5 his first year, which was great because they had been 2-10. Right.
Right. Yeah.
And then the next year they were back to like 4-8. And my buddy said he would have been better off if the years were reversed. If he'd gone 4-8 in year one and then he'd gone 7-5, everybody would have said, oh, what great progress. But because he went in and did this miracle thing in year one and went 7-5, everybody at the end of year two goes, well, hold on. And I thought this dude was our miracle worker and now he's just another guy.
Yeah.
But look at it from a recruiting standpoint. Being able to tell guys that you came in and you took your team full of mid-major transfers and Kobe, you know, to the second round of the NCAA tournament, come play for me, we'll go further. I mean, it's a much easier sell. It's a much easier sell than to kind of flop or have won like 15 games or something. It's a lot easier sell to have 25 wins.
For sure. And being a four seed in the SEC tournament, listen, if you were told, the four seed still kind of blows my mind that the Missouri was a four seed in that tournament. I don't know why, but like that still is like, wow, it's crazy. They finished in the top four. And like, I don't know, we were talking about fighting for middle of the standings. And in terms of beginning of the season, we were talking about all the changes in the SEC in terms of coaches. They were trying to fight out for who was going to be the best of the new coaches. And came out on top, obviously.
That wasn't even a competition, yeah.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't. And that was kind of one of the things that I really started to think about when I started to put the season in perspective, because I kind of turned the page, is I do worry a little bit that the expectations are going to be a little bit higher, especially with the contract extension already happening. That could be something that adds a little bit of pressure to it. But we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
Dennis does not strike me as a guy who really cares much about pressure.
No.
he's pretty calm.
Cool. Yeah. Other side of the pillow. No, it's and I was talking with some fans, even some Kansas fans, kind of about what Missouri has cooking up next year. We were talking about some of the guys that they've got going and some of the holes they'll have to fill. I'd be shocked if they don't bring in a big guy who can rebound the basketball a little bit. They're gonna need to address that area. I'm sure Dennis already knows that. He doesn't need us to tell us. But, Gabe, what do you kind of want to see in these upcoming months, weeks, years for Missouri basketball when it comes to building their team for next year?
Yeah, I mean, you need a rim protector. I thought it was encouraging to see Diarra do a little bit of that in the second half. I mean, I don't know if he's consistently that guy, but he did it well there. You need a rim protector. You need a shooter, at least, you know, because you know Des Moines Hodge is gone. But the key to Dennis's first offseason was, could he keep Kobe Brown? And the key to Dennis's second offseason is, can he keep Kobe Brown? I mean, because I really think if Kobe comes back, and I think there's a pretty decent chance of it, guys. I've changed my thinking on this in the last 2 weeks. I think there's a better chance than not that Kobe comes back next year. So if he does, I think that's a team you're going to see get preseason top 25 votes, be picked, you know, in the top 5 or 6 of the SEC. If he doesn't, I think what you're going to see is people go, okay, now, like, prove it to me. Prove that last year you can do this again with a very, very different group of players, you know? So, man, I don't think there are many worlds where when Dennis took this job, he thought he would get 2 years of like first team All-SEC Kobe Brown. But if he can do it, boy, that's a hell of a thing.
And that doesn't hurt his transfer portal recruiting at all.
Right.
Being able to say that, you know, Kobe's coming back. And, you know, there's a lot of guys that still have some eligibility that Mizzou has looked at in the past that, you know, I've heard some rumblings about players like Caleb Love and players like Jamarion Sharp and things like that. And I'm not putting anything like that's going to happen. I know Caleb didn't have like the greatest season. But, you know, players like that, there's big names on the board that would maybe come here and play for a guy like Dennis Gates with a player like Kobe Brown.
Now, the thing about Kobe is we're not going to know for a while, right? He's going to go through this process. He's going to do the workouts. I think the deadline to withdraw is somewhere around June 1st.
I believe it is, yes.
So he's going to go do workouts for NBA teams and get feedback. And look, I talked to somebody over the weekend, and everybody understands this. If the feedback is that Kobe is like a borderline first-round pick, he's got to go. Like, he's got to. I don't think that's going to be the feat. I haven't seen him there at any... If that's the feedback, it's going to mean he had incredible workouts with teams. Like, he really raised his stock between now and the end of May, which seems tough to me to do. But, yeah, so it's going to be a little bit. So Dennis might not necessarily be able to sell that to some of these kids. Now, he may be able to say, hey, we feel like we got a pretty good shot, you know, but I don't think we'll know officially. But so Maggie brought up Caleb Love. I was talking about this with somebody 2 weeks ago. Legitimately, would you take him?
Do you think?
I'm going to say no.
That's kind of how I feel about it a little bit. Last year, I don't think he played that great of a season. I couldn't tell you what his stats were for North Carolina, but I know he took some bad
shots. They were not good.
Yeah, I know he took some bad shots. But he's still pretty good player. I mean, do you think maybe he plays a little bit better knowing he's getting to play in front of his family every week? I don't know.
So here are Caleb Love's career stats. 3 years.
Here we go. Uh-oh.
39.7% shooter from the floor. 31.7% shooter from three-point range. 3.3 assists and 2.7 turnovers per game. He averages, approximately, over the last 2 years, he averages approximately 13 shots a game and shoots 35%. Caleb Love had the greatest 3 weeks of his basketball life at the perfect time. Like, at the perfect time. He was amazing in the NCAA tournament. He was never that player before, and he's never been that player since.
Yeah.
And I just worry with local kids, if he comes here and it doesn't work, if he comes here and he shoots 31%, and, like, I don't see Dennis being a guy that's like, no, it's cool, come take 15 shots a game. You know, so if it's not working, does it do more harm than good?
Well, here's my thing. We just got done talking about how they need depth and how they need guys. Now, would Caleb Love come off the bench and be okay with it? No, he won't. But, like, it would be kind of cool to have a guy like that come off the bench. But that's, I don't know. They do need some bodies.
I mean, it'd be cool to get Brandon Miller to come be your sixth man, too. But that's not
that's true. If he wanted to, we'll take him. Not going to turn him away. He wants to be the sixth man.
You're listening to the fastest growing sports media network in Kansas City, KC Sports Network. We'll be back right after this.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time.
Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Entertain. Educate. Inform. KC Sports Network.
A lot going on with just like the moving parts and everything. And Gabe, as you mentioned, it does get a little really tricky with the transfer portal and trying to get rosters. I remember KC specifically ran into this last year where they had like two guys on the roster on June 1st. Like they were waiting for guys to like come back, and like their big concern was, are they going to have a team put together by the time that they have to start practices? Because they got such a late jump with, they kind of hired Jerome Tang a little bit later, if I remember correctly. And then they basically had to wait for these guys. I think Keontae Johnson, they had to wait for him to get medically cleared. And then they had to wait for some of these guys going into the draft to pull themselves out of the draft so they could get them. It kind of makes everything a little bit more complicated, but it could be something worth waiting for.
And like that, it's not going to be that extreme, obviously, with Dennis. I mean, he's got the four incoming players. I'd be stunned if Nick Honor's not back, stunned if Sean East isn't back, stunned if Noah Carter's not back, and stunned if Mohamed Diarra's not back, and pretty close to stunned if Aiden Shaw's not back. So that's nine guys, right? You're waiting on Kobe. We all know the Mosley. I don't know, guys. He can come back. Does he want to, and do they want him to? I don't know.
He can't transfer anywhere else, though, right? He would have 1 year left of eligibility.
I go D2.
You can always transfer somewhere else. He'd find a reason. Everybody finds a way. You know, I mean, like Northwestern State's entire team transferred there, and they're all in the portal today. So, whatever. They'll enter the portal and figure it out later. They said they're going to be hard-earned waivers, but they won't. So, if he wants to go somewhere else, he'll go somewhere else. But I don't know what to make, you know. I don't know what to make of that one. Does he? Because I think he genuinely seems to be overall happy at Missouri and like not hold anything against the coaches or the administration or anything like that. But also at some point, man, part of the reason you did run into depth was because one of the guys you were counting on, you just couldn't count on him to be there every day. And I want to be clear, like I'm not trying to say anything bad about Isaiah by saying that. It's just a simple fact of the matter that you took him this year because you didn't know that this stuff was going to happen, right?
Yeah.
But now you know it could. And that has to impact how you build the roster.
The Horizon League's a bit different than the SEC when it comes to, I don't know if they're in the Horizon League or not. I can't remember. From Missouri Valley, is that where they're in?
Missouri State? Missouri Valley.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know why I thought it was the Horizon League.
That's where the rest of the team came
from. Well, it all tracks. Yeah. So it's a little bit different, so I can understand. I guess I have some grace, right, for Isaiah Mosley, what he was going through like that. I know a lot of fans early on were kind of upset about it, but listen, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. That's what it comes down to. And you mentioned, Gabe, I mean, man, if they had Isaiah Mosley firing on all cylinders like we kind of anticipated at the beginning of the season, this team looks a whole lot different than it did against Princeton on Saturday. So. I think there's a lot of promise going forward for this team. Very excited going forward with the Dennis Gates era. I think that the program is in good hands. I remember at the very beginning after they hired Dennis, before we started this podcast, I was talking with Jared Sutton kind of offline, and he was saying how much he loved him. I didn't know anything about Dennis Gates, right? And Jared was going on and on about how much he loved him. I was like, all right, well, if he's good enough for Jared, it's going to be good enough for me. So I bought all in, and
a friend of mine sent me Pete Thamel's tweet that was the first one that said, hey, he is a strong candidate or something like it, which is basically Pete's language for Missouri's hiring him. I just have to leave myself some wiggle room in case it doesn't happen. But he sent me that tweet and just said, read the replies if you haven't. Oh man,
There's a whole bunch of Missouri fans that should probably just delete that account or change the username or something. And, like, look, we've all been wrong, right? I was mad when Mahomes was drafted over Deshaun Watson. So I'm not saying that you should be able to see the future. I'm just saying it's funny. We are now, what is today, March 20th or 21st, something like that. We are, like, 363 days from – it's a year on Wednesday that Missouri hired Dennis. The opinions could not have been more 180 back then than they are now.
Well, I remember one of the first tweets I saw was I don't remember who it was from, somebody at Mizzou, and they're like, high character, this and that. And I'm like, oh, just another conso. I'm like, if we're just going to hire somebody for character, I'm like, at least keep conso. We can keep Aiden Shaw. And I'm like,
I mean, to me, fair, Maggie, did you expect the official to release to be like, scumbag, but dude wins, you know, like.
I mean, it could have at least been like, Horizon League Coach of the Year, blah, blah, blah. And it was just like, man of moral character. And I'm like,
So on the record, Maggie wants the character to be there, just more like in paragraph 4.
Right.
Just don't vary with the character.
Just have a medium amount of character, and I will be fine with you.
Not as
Maggie's second favorite team is actually now St. John's.
If you win and have like 55% good character, then we're on the roll.
Hal Mim is out of that.
Alabama. He's gone.
You got about 5% character. Before we get into ourselves into too much trouble, I think my first tweet about Dennis Gates was I just quote tweeted and said who, which it's kind of mean to start off on that foot with Dennis Gates. Who knew that I would have a whole folder on my phone of Dennis Gates memes when I would have sent that tweet of just everything that they've done. But looking up, I saw this weekend Missouri swept Tennessee in baseball.
We did? It wasn't even close.
No, all of our games were like blowouts.
And Tennessee was number 2 in the country. Crazy.
Yep. College Baseball World Series.
And now we're ranked.
Ooh.
Which I will stand by that I think preseason rankings are so stupid and biased, and they should not. No ranking should come out until like a month into any season. Because we had no votes. We had 0 votes to be ranked in the top 50 or something. Like, it was wild. Mm-hmm. No votes to be ranked. And then you sweep, we're like 16-3, I think. We sweep Tennessee, who was the number 2 team in the country. And we go to number 22, and Tennessee drops to like number 12. And I'm just kind of like, preseason rankings shouldn't even exist. Because they're just basing it off of that. Like, that's where you start.
Well, this seems like a good place to point out, as Dave Matter did to me over the weekend, Missouri is still 36 spots ahead of Princeton at Ken Palms. Works both ways.
I also want to give a wrestling shout out, national champion again, Keegan O'Toole. 165, is that right? Is that his weight class?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. That's the answer.
Because everybody tuned in for wrestling takes.
He beat the guy he lost to. Twice. Lost to him twice, and I'm pretty sure we said on this podcast all he has to do is beat him at NCAA.
All he does.
we called it here first, ladies and gentlemen.
They finished 5th. That's pretty good.
That's pretty darn good. Wrestling school, if you ask me.
Well, gymnastics finished 5th in the nation last year. Then wrestling 5th in the nation, and then gymnastics finished 6th at SECs this week, which it's pretty much 6th in the country. Besides,
they had this election show this morning. I'm not going to pretend that I watched it or know where they're going, but for the
come on,
I'll look it up on Twitter here. Well,
I got it here. Number 17 gymnastics coordinator. Oh, wait, no, that's the wrong story. My bad.
Mizzou is the number 13 overall seed and will compete in the UCLA regional from March 30th to April 1st.
UCLA,
I assume UCLA is good because UCLA is good at like legitimately everything that's not football, but.
And they have like Olympians as coaches and stuff. Well, cool. fun fact there for you guys. They have like, there's an Olympian on their team, so
she just turned it around.
Jordan Chimes or something.
Yeah, loaded UCLA, LSU, those teams are always very loaded. Well, appreciate everyone tuning in to this week's episode of Mizzou That's Who. We're going to take a little break just because, I don't know if you know this, not much going on.
Be back as news warrants, maybe?
Yes.
That makes sense?
Yes. I think it's fair. If Missouri signs a top 100 transfer portal, top 50 transfer portal quarterback, we'll be back on the podcast.
I don't think they need another one of those. Yeah.
Who knows?
Quarterbacks now.
I think you meant to say center.
Yeah. Yes.
Who's it? For both. Actually, that could be applicable
for either. Yes. For either sport, they do need a center. We'll record a podcast when Sam Horn throws his perfect game. So you guys stay up to date on everything you need to know Missouri athletics wise.
Well, I've already put in requests for Kobe Bryant to announce his intention to return either on Power Mizzou or Mizzou That's Who. I don't like my chances of either one.
Dang.
But if he agrees to it, we will do a podcast in that situation as well.
Yes, we will. You think of the big news, we'll be here for you. But we are going to take a little bit of a break for a little bit just because, you know, we've been going since August. We need a little sabbatical, we'll call it. We'll call it a sabbatical. but we appreciate you guys always listening to the podcast. Make sure to be a friend, tell a friend about the Mizzou That's Who podcast. We'll be back whenever we feel like it to give you the latest on Mizzou athletics. So thank you all for listening. We'll catch you next time.
Thanks for listening to KC Sports Network. Don't forget to hit that follow button and leave us a review if you like what you heard and think others would as well. You can find all six of our channels at KCSN. Covering the Chiefs, the Royals, Sporting KC, and the KC Current, plus KU, K-State, or Mizzou, by searching KCSN wherever you listen to podcasts. We're also on YouTube. Entertain, educate, inform. KC Sports Network.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.